In the swimming pool, I counted over 25 kids. This morning I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There comes 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're about missing half of them. But we have a good number of children. Let's start our Sunday school. Go to the very back page, and I'm going to pick the first song, and I'm going to then ask some of you boys and girls to pick the next several songs. Number 44.
Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me. So love me, a poor little boy. Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will be whole. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Bending we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. Sent his son, whosoever, said he. Then I am sure that he sent him for me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before.
Matthew, do you know how much time we have for this Sunday school? On the little card, do you know how many minutes we have? He thinks an hour. No, it's less than an hour. Lane? 5 minutes? 45 minutes. That's right, 45 minutes. Do you think it takes 45 minutes to tell someone the gospel? No, I don't think it does either. In fact, my parents put on a camping trip at our lake one night, and as I was sitting around the campfire, I heard a boy about some of you boys' age. They were playing behind me, and one boy said to another boy, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And that probably took less than 5 seconds to say. And that's not the whole gospel, but the other little boy said, no. And then they kept on playing. So anyway, it doesn't take long. Okay, let's sing another song. How about a girl? And we need some more girls up here. I know we have some around. Like I said earlier, I counted over 25 swimmers last night in the pool, and we have about 14 kids up here, so please feel free to come on up. I know it's scary. Guess who's the most scared here this morning? Okay, how about a girl with a song? On the back page. Which one? 42. Thank you. 42.
A little child of
Thank you. 47.
When he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown.
Okay, either a boy or a girl this time for another song. Okay? Number five. Would you look on the very back page and pick one from the back, the way back? Here, you use this one. Pick one from that side. Number 44. Actually, we started with number 44. Pick another one. Jesus loves me. Okay. Number 40. Jesus loves me. As we sing Jesus loves me, I would like all the grandfathers to sing the first chorus the first time. Just grandfathers on the chorus the first time. That's me. I'll be helping you. And on the second verse, all the grandmothers sing the chorus. All the grandmothers sing the chorus on the second verse. And then we'll just continue verses 3, 4, and 5 like normal. Okay, first chorus is grandfathers and second chorus is grandmothers. Number 40. Jesus
loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to
Let's do one more for right now. One more song. Lane. 41. Number 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory. Shining robes of spotless white, each one will
hymn sheets down for a few minutes. And let's do close our eyes now and look to God for something for our hearts. I want to talk to you children this morning about value. On the table here, you see a little cardboard box with two styrofoam cups turned upside down. And on top of the styrofoam cups, you see something stuck in the cups. What do you see? Paul? Dirt. He's right. He sees dirt stuck in these cups. What value does dirt have? How much is this dirt worth, Paul? Do you have any idea? I see some boys over here telling secrets to one another. What are you thinking, Kevin? Nothing? What'd you say? Here's the other cup. It has a thicker piece of dirt. When I went outside this morning to get these pieces of dirt, I thought about me. And one of these days I'm going to die and I'm going to become dust. Or dirt. That's what the Bible says, that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Some of you have Bibles. Let's see if I can pick on you. Michael, would you read for me Psalm 139? And four verses here. Psalm 139, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Please. Actually, would you read the next verse also, please? Thank you. You read that nice and clearly. When God created Adam and Eve, He made them from the dust of the ground, and then He breathed into them the breath of life. And there was wonderful togetherness, God and His new creature, Adam. And then a little later, He made Eve from one of Adam's ribs. And we know how Adam and Eve sinned. And it was just a little sin of disobedience. And yet that one sin has plunged the entire human race into estrangement from God. Our minds are against God. We do not believe that God is good. And so that one sin has plunged boys and girls and eventually men and women into sin. Well, these two pieces of dirt have inside of them something of value. And I'm going to put that one in the water. I'm going to put this piece of dirt in the water. And I'm going to slosh it around a little bit here. Boy, when I was trying to make it stick, it wouldn't stick, and now it won't come off. Okay, there it's coming. What, this young lady here, what do you think I have hidden inside this one piece of dirt?
Maybe a ring.
Maybe a ring? Okay, that would be something of value. It's not a ring. What do you think it might be? Money. Ah, that's it. Oh, here's a little silver one. How much is that piece of money worth? 10 cents. Okay, he's got it. That one's a dime. All right, we'll put this dime up here in that cup. And we have one more piece of money in. Oh, I told you what it was. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of work to get us clean. You know, when the Lord is looking at us and we don't want to come and, oh, there's kind of some scrubbing and it was kind of cute to me this morning. I was beckoning to one of the children in the back row, and I was trying to encourage them to come up to the front row, and this child turned around and looked behind them to see who I might be beckoning to. Well, there's nobody else behind them. They're in the very back row. I wonder if God is pointing his beckoning hand at you, and you're looking to see somebody else that he might be talking to. Is he talking to your heart this morning to come to him? Ooh, look at this coin. Here's a bright, shiny one. A pretty copper penny here. How much is a penny worth? 1 cent. You know, when I was you kids' age, I could buy a piece of candy with 1 cent. I was in the store 2 days ago, and I could only buy one piece of candy with a dime now. A pack of gum that has, I think, 14 pieces costs $1.49. That's 10 cents per stick. In a way, I want to tell you that you are worth, you are at least worth the face value of these coins. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have marvelous intellect and bodies. I've seen you kids run and splash and play, and thankfully you're not paralyzed or I don't see any blind children here this morning or deaf children. You have marvelous capabilities of doing things, but there is something missing. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, though you are very valuable to him, there's something of more value that you're missing. And so these coins here are worth 1 cent and 10 cents. Now I'm going to trade these coins. I'm going to take this penny off. I'm going to put a different penny on. It's not quite as shiny as this first penny. And I'm going to take this dime off and put a different dime on. Again, it's not near as shiny as the first dime. And I'm also going to give each of you children one of these similar dimes and pennies. So I'm going to do this quickly. Okay, I got to go back around now and give each of you a penny. Take a look at your coins and see if you can find a date on them. Look for a date. It will say 19 something. Do you see a date on any of your coins? What does it say? 1945? Oh, okay, that sounds close. Sounds right. 1943 is one here. 1942. Whew. 1944. Hey, anybody here born in 1944? Oh, Doug Buchanan. Wow. Here, young man, here's a penny for you. How about 1942? Oh, over here, 1942. Oh, back there. Wow. These are what we call antique coins. Where you going? Okay. Here's a little pile of pennies and a little pile of dimes. I bet there are some people in this room who have never seen a dime with this picture on the front of it. Is that the Mercury? Mercury dime? It's worth 10 cents. Take it down to the Walgreens, and I believe you can buy a piece of gum if they sell them individually. You can buy a piece of gum for 10 cents. I don't know what you can buy with this penny, and they call this a wheat cent because on the back side of it is a picture of some wheat heads. They don't make these anymore. The wheat cents and the mercury dime. They're worth a penny for face value and 10 cents for face value. And I didn't look in my coin collector book because I don't really keep up on coins. But for antique value, and you kids might want to look in an antique book, I don't know what I gave you. It's possible that one of your coins is worth $50,000, although I doubt it. Those have been picked through. But there is a nickel out there, the 1913 nickel. If you ever find this particular nickel, I think it's worth thousands of dollars. And some people, I've heard, try and take a 1918 nickel and erase a couple of the marks of the 8 and make it look like a 3. To try and trick people. But these coins, now that you have a different value than just the face value. They have an antique value. They are kind of rare. You probably have never seen one of these coins before. And if you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not antique, but you are rare. And so you have an additional value that I want to encourage you to cultivate, because Christians in this world, every now and then you see one of them. Okay, you go to meeting every week with Christians, but sometimes at school you see somebody do something very kind, very thoughtful. You see somebody who doesn't react in a mean way with other children, and you think, I wonder if they're a Christian, don't you? Okay, let's have another verse here. How about, let's see, you have a Bible. Would you read Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31 for me, please? Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31. Thank you. You are of more value than many sparrows. God knows about any of these sparrows that are flying through the trees and they land, and sometimes there's a big flock of sparrows. By the way, you kids watch things in nature? Do sparrows walk or do they hop? Hey, good. Do robins walk or do robins hop? I think robins hop. Do crows walk or do crows hop? Crows walk. It's interesting. Some birds walk. I got that mixed up. Some birds hop, even just for a short distance. They hop to the next spot, and they hop to the next spot. God has created these little animals with their own unique things. And the little sparrows we read here, every now and then we hit one with our car. I don't cry about it. I don't even go back and pick it up and bury it. I just leave it. We are of more, you children are of more value than many sparrows. The very hairs of your head, and I like to think of you dear girls whose mothers curled your hair this morning and brushed your hair. Your mothers don't know how many hairs are in your head, but God knows. He has a very intimate knowledge about you. Have you come to the Lord Jesus and let Him search your heart and find out those hidden sins that you have? Have you seen Him dying on the cross for your sins, and you come and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, to take your sins away? One of these songs that we sang this morning, some of you kids have heard, A Little Child of Seven. That was a little song that exercised me to come to the Lord, because I thought that someone who was 7 years old or six or five is automatically saved. And then one day I turned eight, and I had not taken Jesus as my Savior yet. Anyway, I was not saved. And thankfully, the Lord Jesus brought me to Himself. So we have a face value and we have a rare value. And I want to encourage you children to look to the Lord and work those things for the Lord that you don't see very often in the world. Okay, I'll tell you one thing about me. I was a Christian in school, and one day going in the lunch line, some kids were crowding in front of me, and I pushed and shoved them out. And I just went inside the door, and the lady said, "I never thought I'd see you do that." See, she knew I was a Christian. So are there things that we are doing that are not very Christian-like? Now, I have pulled out of my pocket one more thing, a little package. This is basically the way it was given to me 15 years ago. Who can tell me what date 15 years ago was? Kevin? '94. Maybe it was 14. Okay. It happened in 1995. This also is a coin. I'm going to walk around and show it to you, children. Do you have any idea how much it's worth? It's face value. How much do you? We've been talking about face value and antique value. What's its face value? He says half dollar. No, it's not a half dollar. Yes, this is a $1 coin. If I took this to the store, I could buy something for $1. But this coin is worth far more than $1. Somewhere on this coin it says 1 ounce fine silver. Anybody in this room know how much an ounce of silver is worth today? Some years ago it was worth $32. Yes. $20. Okay. So on the coin collector's store, I could at least get $20 for this one coin. But this coin has another value to me. And I'm going to tell you the story. And as I tell you the story, I want you to link my story with your life and the Lord and what the Lord might be doing in your life. My wife was involved in a serious car accident that killed one of our children. And it really beat up my wife in the accident. She had broken bones and internal organs that were damaged. She was in the hospital. And it was very possible that she would not be able to come to the funeral for our one daughter who was killed. Well, the Lord allowed her to get strong enough that she was able to come home. We buried our child on our property. It was allowed us to do that. Kayleen was buried on the farm. And we had the funeral. And a neighbor had invited everybody over to his barn to come and eat a meal at the barn. So while everybody left from the funeral, I carried my other daughter in, who was in the wreck. She was 4 years old, and she was in a body cast. So I had to carry her up the stairs and lay her on the couch. And then I got my wife in the wheelchair. I got her in the house, situated comfortably. And then I left to go over to the barn where people were eating. When I got to the barn, like a lot of our all-day meeting meals, a number of the plates were empty. So I'm going through the line by myself, picking out a little bit of food here and a little bit of food there. Can you kind of get the feel of how I'm feeling? I'm feeling sad. What's another word that would describe how I'm feeling? I'm by myself. What? Miserable. Okay. Thank you. That's a good word. Kevin? Lonely. Amen. And lonely. That was the word I was really feeling, but miserable. Yeah. And sad. And I go out through the door and look at all these people talking and chatting and eating. And I find a place at a table and I go and sit down by myself. And I start to eat. And after one of my bites, I look up across the table opposite me to the next table beyond, and a friend was sitting there, and he just looked at me and smiled. Well, last night as I was thinking about this, I started to cry. I'm not crying right now, but it brings over me a fresh flood of refreshment and joy and delight. Even now I can look back sitting at that table thinking how miserable I was feeling and lonely. And that friend had his business with his children and things. But just that look as he looked over at me was of such a value to me. And then a few days later he said, "Tim, I just want to give you something from my heart to yours." And he didn't really say what it was for. I'm even struggling to tell you what it's for, you know. Just a little something to encourage my heart. Children, I love the way you look up and look at me expectantly. Has the Lord had the Lord looked at you with the joy of His salvation, and have you responded to Him with an acknowledging look of thankfulness? Lord Jesus, thank you. I think many of you have. I trust all of you have. And then as you go on through life, and I know that youth is fun and frivolous. Sometimes that means you forget quickly the important things in life. But are there times in your life when you really consider what the Lord has done for you? And when you're rushing into school or you're rushing somewhere, do you take the time to hold the door for someone who's not as fortunate as you are? Do you take the time to share something, even a smile? And I really want to smile at each of you to encourage you to pass it on. And our time is up, but just recently at Cracker Barrel, I saw a saying about a smile. And maybe we can all practice that. A smile is something crooked that sets many things straight. A smile is something crooked that sets many things straight. That is the first place we can start. And I left out one, my most important verse, or a very important verse. Would you read 2 Corinthians 4:7 for me, please? 2 Corinthians 4:7, and then we will close. Thank you. I've been carrying this silver dollar around with me. I have this treasure in my pocket, but I have a better treasure. I have the Lord in my heart, and I have the Holy Spirit in me. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you have that Holy Spirit also. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.